Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, our contact information, if you haven't jotted it down already, equip.org. Our post office address is Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone calls. First up, Daniel in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question about the slogan y'all use, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. I wanted to ask your question, ask you a question about who determines the essentials. And I would just say, or I guess I had a question because historically those essentials have kind of shifted. I know during the Protestant Reformation, the essentials around grace alone, by faith alone and Christ alone, were really big. And then also, essentials were things of sacraments. I know mode of baptism, who you baptized, were considered essentials, whereas today maybe those things are up for grabs. And I know there's a lot of different groups like the Gospel Coalition and Together for the Gospel, but nobody ever really drills down and, hey, what are the essentials? Where can we stand shoulder to shoulder with people? And I wanted to kind of get your take on that. It's just things that I'm kind of thinking through right now.
Sure. And a brilliant prologue to your question. I think that what I would say about this, Daniel, is that the essentials are not determined by any group of people, but rather discovered. In other words, as you read the Word of God, you find main and plain things in the Word of God, and those main and plain things are what we call essential Christian doctrine. So the deity of Jesus Christ stands out above the rest as a main and a plain thing. Jesus asking the mother of all questions, "Who do you say that I am?" The doctrine of original sin is a main and a plain thing, and obviously, it contradicts the Muslim idea of an original slip. So you can look at the nature of God, you can look at the resurrection, the incarnation, even eschatology. Eschatology has main and plain things related to it and secondary things related to it. What's main and plain in Scripture, easy to determine, is that Jesus Christ will appear a second time. What's not so easy to determine is the details leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, or for that matter, how you might read apocalyptic literature. So the main and plain things, I think, are readily discernible because of their ease of understanding. Not determined by human beings, again, but determined by reading the Word of God, and theologians on the basis of that have codified the main and plain things in various modes or manners. I've done so in acronym form. I use the doctrine acronym to give what I consider to be the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Obviously, some theologians will codify the essentials in seven, some will do nine, some will do 12. So sometimes there's the collapsing of categories. But again, the idea behind it is those things that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults.
Okay, that's helpful, and I appreciate your answer.
Could you speak to, like, you even mentioned time in that previous segment, like times and seasons, and, you know, even saying things like Advent or Lent. I know Puritans, for instance, would take exception to those sort of categories because they would say they're unbiblical, and because of that, they wouldn't.
Sure, and that's exactly why we wouldn't consider them the main and the plain thing. So what we say is an essentials unity. This is not original with us, of course, but an essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and an all things charity. So in terms of certain celebrations, I mean, there are a lot of Christians that will not celebrate Christmas or Easter. There are a lot of people that follow a liturgical calendar and a lot of people that do not. But these are important issues. I'm not saying by categorizing them as secondary that they're not significant. I'm simply saying that they are not the acid test for orthodoxy. The acid test for orthodoxy are those things that are, again, main and plain, from the deity of Jesus Christ to the nature of God to the resurrection, which is the capstone in the arch of Christianity, to the incarnation of Christ. Without his kenosis, we cannot experience theosis. So there are many things that we would consider essential just because they are main and plain teachings of Scripture.
Great, great. Well, thank you, Hank. I really appreciate your ministry and your thoughtfulness. Thank you.
Well, and the excellent way in which you phrased your question as well. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jay in Arlington, Virginia. Hi, Jay.
So I've had discussions with people, and I don't have a real good answer for this, so maybe you could just sort of address it. And it's sort of the question that goes back to the concept of original sin and the fact that we have an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-merciful God who created us, knowing that we had this proclivity towards this curiosity. He fabricated us with all of the tendencies that we have and is able to see all things. And how and why, I guess, are we subjects as having, for example, I never asked to be created or born, and yet I'm subject to original sin that Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden. So I don't know how to rationalize that to myself sometimes, but certainly for other people. And I'm going to hang up so I can listen to your response. I love your ministry. Thanks for your help.
Thank you, Jay. And yeah, I mean, it's one of these issues that we determine by going right back to the beginning. God could have created the angels. He could have created humankind in such a way that they could not sin. But as I've said many times in this broadcast, had God done that, then they could not have loved in a genuine way, because love always requires volition. So God created as volitional beings, human beings, that can, in fact, choose to love him or choose to reject him. Now, I think on a larger scale, we were created for life in the Trinity, which is to say, we were created for fellowship with God. We were created for loving relationships with God. And without love, obviously, we cannot be brought in to the loving relationships of the Trinity. The great thing is that God created us in such a way that love is possible. And through that, if you think about his wisdom, you realize immediately that he created the potential for the best of all possible worlds as well, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin. So it is true that we are born with a broken gene as a result of Adam's sin, and that, as the Bible said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we're also born in such a way that we can choose to love the one who has revealed himself to us in creation, on our conscience, and through the light of Christ. And as we respond to light, we will continue to receive more and more light. So it's a wonderful thing that you were born and that you have an opportunity to respond to the grace and goodness of God, as I'm sure you have, and to continue to grow in that love relationship. I mean, that's one of the great things that all of us can experience. It is the infilling, the ingrafting of Christ. I mentioned earlier a saying of the early church fathers, kenosis, becomes theosis. He emptied himself, and it became the means by which we can be filled with Christ, the very presence of Christ, so that we can live within the context of what we were created to live within, and that is fellowship within the Trinity. And that extends to fellowship with one another, so we can learn to love other people in a genuine, selfless way, as opposed to a selfish way. So all of that God has placed. Now, God did, of course, have the opportunity to create a world in which we could not choose, but then again, we would not be brought into fellowship with the Trinity. Much more could be said, but this is an intriguing question, an important question, and one that makes me grateful that I can have a loving relationship with the one who knit me together in my mother's womb now and for all eternity. We'll be right back with more answers. Please don't touch that dial.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Hank will be back after this. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
faithalone.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, back to the phone lines, and we will talk next to Ryan listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. I just have a general question. I know the Bible says that the Lord knows when you're going to die before you're born. I guess that's a difficult thing for me to answer. When people ask or say that we truly do not have free will when that comes to suicide victims or overdose victims and things like that. So I just wanted to get your response on that.
Sure. And I've answered this question many, many times. And oftentimes I think that there must be yet another way to get people to fully apprehend or even comprehend what I'm saying in this regard. What I typically point out, Ryan, is that what is important to recognize is that knowledge of something does not make the person who knows the causal agent of what they know. And the best way I know to explain this is just by practical application, a person looking backwards in time. So I can think back to a couple of days ago, I pulled a prank on one of my co-workers at the Christian Research Institute, and I have requisite knowledge of how he reacted and what I did, and it was fun, and I laughed, all at his expense, of course. But the fact that I know exactly how he reacted to what I did does not make me the causal agent of his reaction. Now, I did pull the prank, but you can think of many circumstances in which you look backwards in the rearview mirror, as it were, and see things with clarity without being the causal agent of what you are seeing. So you could testify to what you saw in a court of law, but you didn't cause what happened. So the fact that God knows what you are going to do, knows all the days ordained for you, as you point out in Psalm 139, the text tells us, written in his book before one of them came to be. The fact that God knows that does not mean that we do not have the ability to act or to act otherwise. Now, I have also mentioned that this is somewhat of an antinomy. In other words, a tension in Scripture, because I fully recognize that the Bible talks about the sovereignty of God, that not a hair falls from your head, that God does not know about it. But the Bible is also very clear that our choices really matter. You think of Jesus saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets, how long I have longed to cloak you under my wings as a hen her chicks, but you were not willing." And many other verses. So there's a sense in which there's an antinomy of Scripture here. But I think that it's important to realize the fact that you know, the fact that God knows, does not mean that our actions do not count.
Sure, I totally get that, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope that helps, Ryan. I mean, when you deal with suicide, it's always a very, very difficult thing. And in our culture, suicide is ever more prevalent as people are taught that their lives are meaningless, that everything is just a random projection of molecules in motion. And so people think, if there is no meaning, what's the point? So this is, again, a very relevant question. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Paula in Torrance, California. Hi, Paula.
Mr. Hanegraaff?
Hi.
Hi. Love your show. Listen to it every day, and God bless you for it.
Thank you.
I have a question. I've been studying in John 16, and he's talking to the disciples about how he's going to go away and going to send the Comforter. And it says here, which I kind of didn't, I went over and over it in my mind and talked to a couple of people about what, you know, was going to happen with Satan. Was the Lord going to wait for Satan to repent or that sort of thing? I'm not eloquent of speech, Mr. Hanegraaff, but it says that he's already judged here in 12, John 16:12.
Yeah, I think what's important here, and by the way, you speak wonderfully well, so don't sell yourself short on that. You're a good communicator. You know, I think what's important to realize here is that the cross of Christ constitutes God's judgment on the world and on Satan. You think of what a passage in Colossians 2 connotes. When we see that at the cross, Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a spectacle of them through his passion on the cross. But Satan has been judged from the beginning. That's why Satan fell. That's why Satan is the enemy of God's purposes. That's why Satan sought to do something with Adam and Eve that is beyond comprehension. He wanted them to become divine on their own terms. He wanted them to seek after self-deification. Now, while deification or theosis or being a partaker of the divine nature is thoroughly biblical, it must never be on Satan's terms. It may never be on our terms. It may only be through the graces of God which he affords to us. So Satan is condemned, and his place, as Revelation 20 tells us, is in the lake of burning sulfur, forever separated from the love and the glory and the goodness of God. And he has been, as the text tells us, Jesus speaking in this case, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." And he's not going to speak on his own. He's going to speak that which has been given to him, because remember, Christ in his incarnation has undergone kenosis. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Miley, listening in El Dorado, Kansas. Hi, Miley.
Yes. Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a quick question. One of my favorite sections in the New Testament is Ephesians 6:12-18, and it's putting on the full armor of God. But in 18, in verse 18, I always get thrown. It says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." And I don't know what I'm watching for or
sure.
Watching for.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I would say about that. First of all, the words there hearken back to the admonition of the Master, who warned his slumbering disciples, "Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation." And Peter then extends the warning by urging us to be self-controlled and alert. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. So only as you watch and pray can you take your stand against the devil's scheme. So think about the context of what you're reading. The context starts in verse 10, where we're told that we must put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against principalities and powers of darkness. So this is the admonition. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Why do we have to be alert? Because our enemy, the devil, is prowling around seeking whom he might devour. But it is not, as I've said on many broadcasts, just about the devil. It's about sin in general. It's not our prerogative to try to figure out whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil. The thing we need to do is be alert, put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. I don't know why I didn't catch it. Okay, thank you so much, and God bless you, Hank.
Well, God bless you as well, and you know, sometimes we don't get it, and that's why it's often great to talk about these things. I do so within the context of the Christian Research Institute. Oftentimes, we're discussing questions that come up on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and as we think together, we gain fuller insight, and that's really what we're doing on the broadcast. I don't have all the answers. I have been doing this for a while, so maybe have a few more answers than some people do, but I don't have all the answers. I think the great thing is to consider these things and to test Scripture in light of Scripture. I don't know if you recognize what I was just doing. what I was doing in effect was answering the question not with, you know, an odd predilection of my own or a subjective flight of fancy. What I was doing is I was tethered to the biblical text. So I answered the question by harking back to biblical passages that explicate what's going on. I also looked at the context itself, and we find the answer in both those places. So maybe a little lesson on what you can do to more fully understand or grasp what you are reading. Thank you so much for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. My apologies to those hanging on. Look forward to seeing you right back here, Lord willing, with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And again, thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.